that we must terminate gerrymandering. We have to take that power away from the politicians and give it back to the people.
Thank you, former Senator Schwarzenegger, and thank you for tuning into this policy podcast. My name is Lisette de Gelder.
And I am Naomi Kregelberg. In this podcast, we will be discussing the issue of recent Democratic backsliding in the United States. Stay tuned!
The reason that we are discussing this particular issue today is because some scholars have been raising concerns about the erosion of democratic norms and procedures in recent years. In this podcast, we will first discuss democratic backsliding and the issues connected to it.
After that, we will present some examples of democratic backsliding in recent years. Then, we will discuss a policy proposal that we came up with to solve this issue. Lisette, what exactly is democratic backsliding?
Well, it refers to the decline of democratic regime traits within countries, which can take many shapes and forms. Although there are many differences, there has been academic research that provides insight into some general patterns. Two scholars called Kaufman and Haggard have identified three phases of democratic backsliding. The first phase is the undermining of centrist politicians by polarization of class or identity. This has been a problem in the US for decades, which makes majoritarian attitudes of leaders more appealing to the public. The second phase is that of electoral victories being converted into a legislative supermajority, which concentrates power on the executive. One could argue that the US is currently in this phase. Through the first-past-the-post system, Trump's power is amplified, as he did not even win a majority share of the votes in the previous election. Finally, the third phase is that the executive powers of the rulers are used to weaken institutions of opposition. An example of this is control of the press or limiting the independence of the judiciary. Although the US has strong democratic institutions, we should remain cautious that phase three will not be reached. In this podcast, we will propose a policy that aims to impact in phase two, which is gerrymandering.
Let's start off with a quote of North Carolina Representative David Lewis in 2016. "I think electing Republicans is better than electing Democrats. So I drew this map to help foster what I think is better for the country." In the following audio fragment, he admits in court the goal of the Republican-controlled legislature was to gerrymander a new congressional map that made sure the Republicans would get unfair advantage.
"We, to the extent, are going to use political data in drawing this map. It is to gain partisan advantage on the map."
He admitted it!
These quotes caught a lot of attention, but why? They illustrate the reality of district elections nowadays, which can be seen in several states, especially in the case of North Carolina. Let's first explain what gerrymandering actually is. In the United States, every state elects a certain amount of people in the House of Representatives. This number is based on the census count of the population of that particular state. In North Carolina, the state needs to be divided into 13 congressional districts, preferably with equal populations. The party who has the majority on its side has control of this process in state legislature. One talks about partisan gerrymandering when the ruling party in place intentionally uses the map drawing process for beneficial advantages. Such advantages include winning more seats or to protect the seats it already possesses. The generic goal is to make sure many districts are created that will elect members of the majority party. The case of North Carolina became important because of the quote of David Lewis and was picked up by Supreme Court Justice Elena Kagan. The event led to a ruling in the High Court to tackle the gerrymandering game. However, on Thursday, 27th of June, the Supreme Court ruled in the 5-4 vote that judges do not have the authority to overrule partisan gerrymandering and therefore declined to set limits on gerrymandering. This means the decision could increase partisan redistricting and therefore non-competitive elections after the 2020 elections.
But there is hope, right?
Well, yes! A recent ruling in September 2019 of North Carolina State Court paved the path to undo the Republican dominance in the gerrymandering game. The Common Cause versus Lewis ruling by a 3-judge panel states that the 2017 enacted maps, as drawn, do not permit voters to freely choose their representative, but rather representatives are choosing voters based upon sophisticated partisan sorting. In a new lawsuit to the same court, the map of the state's 13 congressional districts is gerrymandered. The court could actually force North Carolina to redraw this particular map. As one of the lawyers of the plaintiff says in the New York Times, the gerrymandered congressional maps should be struck down immediately and replaced with a new, fair map for the 2020 elections.
This ruling creates a window of opportunity in the process of changing policy on gerrymandering by state actors. The problem stream has reconverged with the political stream, and political actors will need to agree to a new solution. This is where our proposal comes in, which aims to address unfair advantages due to gerrymandering before the 2020 election. Democratic backsliding is an incremental process, so the solution should also go step by step. Due to the ruling of the Supreme Court, the power to address partisan gerrymandering lies in the hands of the Congress and state leaders. The race in the 2020 elections will therefore decide who will be in control of both state and federal redistricting for the next decade.
Our proposal draws further on current actions that are already taken throughout the US. There are currently 9 states, such as California and Arizona, that have an alternative to counter gerrymandering, namely independent commissions that are responsible for drawing congressional district lines. These commissions are created via voter initiative and therefore bypass legislators who are possibly, well, more self-interested. So, we propose that all US states set up similar independent commissions, which will be supported by a new federal agency. These commissions will be funded with federal money to increase their independence from political leaders in the state. Well, before the 2020 elections, commissions will be tasked with reviewing recent redrawings of congressional district lines.
And to gain support for the creation of these commissions, we aim to convince both Republican as well as Democratic leaders of the importance of stopping gerrymandering. We target them with past examples of both Republican as well as Democratic abuse to gerrymandering, for example, the case of Maryland. We will distribute these in the news to also make the electorate aware of these practices and how these different directly affect the value of their votes. Through this, we hope to convince politicians that it's also in their self-interest to support the measure, as they can show their voters that they are committed to democratic leadership. However, there are disadvantages to this solution. For example, Michigan Republicans are trying to undermine these commissions by filing a lawsuit and are possibly putting similar bodies in other states at risk. Republicans argue that the commissions are unconstitutional if they do not give a say to partisan actors. For now, the court has upheld the independent commission, but these Republicans will keep trying.
Our proposal aims to be the first step in an incremental process, that is, create awareness among presidential candidates in 2020. This would be more of an action plan in the short term, and making sure that the one who will be elected will implement the independent commissions throughout all states in the long run. We hope politicians will pick up on this perspective by following the democratic paradigm.
We are aware that these proposed steps are limited because they only impact phase 2 of the democratic backsliding process. One could argue that without also focusing on reversing the process in phase 1, which is polarization, it will only be a matter of time before the US is back in phase 2. An alternative policy proposal would thus focus on increasing the appeal of centric politicians and to decrease the mistrust between the different electorates. However, this is not feasible for the Republican Party before the 2020 election, as Trump will be running as the incumbent instead of a more centric actor.
That means that the Democratic Party should be urged to put a centric actor forward. Looking at the current candidates for the 2020 election, this will be very difficult. Currently, the most popular candidates seem to be Joe Biden, who, as the former vice president to Obama, will not please the crowd who actually felt disadvantaged by Obama.
You are right about that. And more so, this candidate should have endorsement from prominent Republican leaders. That would break the idea of partisanship that is currently prevalent, and it would show the Republican electorate that voting for a Democrat is possible when it's a decent candidate. It would also show that beyond party ideals, Republican politicians are committed to democratic leadership.
Although these actions would most certainly be impactful for the 2020 elections, we think it's highly unlikely that important actors in the political parties can be urged to change tactics now. Therefore, we do not think this should be the first step taken in the approach to tackle democratic backsliding.
Indeed, despite the challenges that our policy proposal will face, we think that creating independent commissions to counter gerrymandering is a crucial solution to prevent further democratic backsliding after the 2020 elections. We think gerrymandering is a good start to the long-term process of incrementalism, as it can serve as a good system of checks and balances that will make US institutions strong enough to deal with democratic crises.
We want to conclude by stating that multiple efforts will be needed to ensure a healthy US democracy in the future. Like Lisette told us already, the main issue remains polarization. Trump is a symptom of polarization, not a cause. His departure or decreasing the number of Republican seats will not put an end to democratic erosion. But what should be done now? On the long run, we need a healthier political competition field, and to put a hold on the process of democratic backsliding.